All right, I see that Madge is on, so that lets me know it's time to get going and I can start teaching and preaching with you guys. Matt and Holly, thank you for leading in worship and helping us out this morning. For those of you who are trying to figure out what in the world is this background, I'm on vacation. I am, west of Grand Rapids, and I am very, very east of Milwaukee across Lake Michigan, spending some time outside of the city. As many of you know, inside of the city gets very loud. So those of you that stayed in Chicago, I hope you slept well and maybe take some naps this afternoon getting ready for tonight. And also the things that are going on and celebrating 4th of July and independence and all the great things that come with being American, eating way too much food and then trying to find Tums and Pepto-Bismol later on in the evening. So that's what it is to be American, right? Matt already covered it, but I want to make sure I come back and share with you guys again. I'm excited about the 11th, and I'm also nervous about the 11th. It's exciting to come together. It's different. It's weird. It's what I want to do. We haven't done it in so long, so there's all these emotions that are inside of it. I'm excited about it. Also, what we're doing as a church to help us in the process of regathering is we've got a family Zoom meeting this Tuesday night at 7 o'clock where we're going to sit down and we're going to share with you guys about what the plans are. And the reason why we're doing that is to help us with our anxiety. We're doing that to help us with our emotions. We're letting you know we've thought about this a lot. We've prayed about this a lot. And we feel as a leadership crew and team and task force, it's time to gather together. And so I know it's summer and people are vacationing. So today I'm preaching from Michigan. I know there are people in North Carolina. I know there are people in Vancouver. I know there are people in Southern California. I know there are people all over the place coming in, diving into worship and teaching with us today. And what an amazing time where I can be in Michigan and I can boot up Facebook Live and I can teach. That just blows my mind. So I want to let you guys know we wanted to do all these things to let you know we love you, we care about you, and we're excited to gather together, and we're going to give you a lot of the information as to what the plans are and the thinking behind our plans, and then that way, as we come together this next Sunday on the 11th, it can calm us down a little bit, knowing we still will be dealing with a little bit of anxiety, but together as a family and as a crew and as a group, we can work through it together. So let's jump in together with Acts 27. Going to be teaching you guys today. Yes, it's going to be 4th of July themed, but a little bit of a change with it. But let's do this. Let's stop for a second and let's just pray and let's ask God to bless us with the ability to hear his words. And also, let's ask God to bless us with the ability to actually carry out his words. And those two things come from him. So let's ask him to do that, okay? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the giver, the creator of all good things. You are the one God who opens our eyes and our ears and our spirit to what it is that you're teaching us. And so, God, I pray a blessing over me as I teach that I can learn as well. That when your word is spoken and taught and led through, that, God, my life would change. And that, God, I would be a hearer of your words, and, God, that would also change my life. That I would be different because of hearing your words. And I pray that blessing over our church as well. And I ask, God, that you would encourage them to pray that blessing as well, that they would be open to hearing your words and they would communicate to you, God, Lord, speak, I'm here. So, Lord, it's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, we're jumping into Acts chapter 27. And as we jump into Acts chapter 27, we're getting into the spot where now the Apostle Paul is being moved from Jerusalem, and he's being taken to Rome. And there's this process, there's these ships, there's this journey that's going on. And what happens to the Apostle Paul is this journey's not smooth. And I think it's super important for us as Christians to recognize somewhere along the line, somebody taught you that if you did it right, it would go smooth and it would go well and it would be pleasurable. What's interesting is Jesus Christ came down from heaven to earth. He was born in Bethlehem. We celebrate Christmas, and King Herod, who was the king of that time, slaughters massive amounts of children in that area to try to kill the Messiah. It didn't go well. We learn that Jesus and his family have to leave the Middle Eastern area and go to Egypt to flee to save his life. They have to go away. It's not easy. And here we have the Apostle Paul being faithful and being obedient to God, and he's about to get in a shipwreck. And as Christians, We lose our minds. God, I'm following you. I'm being obedient to you. I'm doing everything you've asked me to do. Why is life hard? And God says, who told you that? Who told you that life was going to be easy outside of the garden with the curse of sin and death on you? It was easy in the garden, but humanity sinned and went outside of the garden, which is interesting. We sin and we still have the expectations that it should be easy in the garden. So let's jump into Acts 27 with a different kind of a mindset, seeing that the Apostle Paul is being obedient. He's doing exactly what God wants him to do. And there's tons of storms and shipwrecks and problems that he's got to deal with. So let's jump into Acts 27 together. As I was thinking about Acts 27, I was thinking about Gilligan's Island, a three-hour tour. It was just supposed to be a three-hour tour. They were going to leave from a Hawaii port. They were going to go out on a boat for a while. And then that turned into, I think it's like six seasons or something like that, with a special later on and all these other things. It turned into their new life was on this island. Their plan wasn't to do that. But yet, that's what became. There's other great literature out there. You can learn about Tom Sawyer and his life. You can learn about the Swiss Family Robinson and the tour that they were going to be on. And they get lost in the West Indies and they've got to build a house and a home to be able to survive. You also have the Odyssey written by Homer that has a shipwreck involved in it. And shipwrecks are part of life. Why? Because there's many unforeseen factors that come against us in life. There's a reef you can't see. There's a sand bottom you can't see. There's a storm you're unaware of. Or there's just failure inside of a boat. It can no longer handle the stresses that are going on. And so we come into Acts 27, and we see that there's a shipwreck that's going on. There's an emotional shipwreck. There's mental shipwrecks. And then there's the physical, actual wreck of the ship that we deal with in Acts 27. Now, I'm going to start out with the application as I jump into this. Okay, so I'm going to give you the application, then I'm going to teach, and then I'm going to review the application again. And here's the application. The application is declare your dependence on God. Declare your dependence on God. Nathan, it's 4th of July in America. I'm supposed to declare my independence. I'm independent. I don't need anybody. I got a question for you. How's that strategy working? Don't you feel empty and lonely? Yes, I praise God that I live in America. I praise God that I have freedoms. I praise God that I get to teach about God in America. And there's some blessings in that freedom. But there's also some mental problems that we're taught inside of ourselves as Americans that we're free and nobody gets to tell me what to do. You see, we're anti-authoritarian already in the beginning. We're celebrating today, 4th of July, we're celebrating that the King of England is no longer in charge of us, that we are free of the King's rule. Do you understand how spiritually that messes us up? That we are celebrating that I don't need to be underneath the King, that I'm free of the King's rule? And the truth is, that's terrible for you and I. You and I need to be underneath the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the application today on this Independence Day, as you celebrate it, however it is, barbecuing meats, eating tons of vegetables, finding new uses for Jell-O and whipped cream. I have no idea what you're up to today. But what I want you to think about is mentally, 4th of July sets us backwards when it comes to our spiritual lives. 4th of July says, you don't need a king, you're free, celebrate your independence. And all of Scripture says, you're not free. A price was paid for you. Spiritually, you were set free when you follow the King of Kings and you give your life to Him and you follow Him. There is freedom in God. And that's the direction you're supposed to go. And you and I are supposed to be dependent, just like God is dependent, as Jesus didn't do anything except what the Father told Him to do. And Jesus was dependent on the Holy Spirit in His life to walk through and carry out what He did in the Gospels. You and I are in the same place. And even deeper, setting up our teaching series currently, when we jump to January, we're going to learn about interdependence. That not only am I dependent, and not only am I have some independence, but what does it look like to be interdependent, to rely deeply on each other, to care for each other, and to receive from somebody else, and to give to somebody else? You see, what we have in American independence is I don't need anything. I don't need any help. And so we don't ask people to pray for us. We're not vulnerable. We don't communicate our fears and our worries in a healthy manner and form because we want to be independent and we don't want anybody to care for us, but we want to bless everybody else. You see, we want to be in a position of power and giving, but we don't want to be in a position of receiving. You see, there's a lot of things that we get tweaked when it comes to being a human. In Acts 27, we start to see this process of Paul being moved and going towards Rome. But before we get to that, I really want to bring out a verse that comes from John 6, 68 and 69 that has to do with declaring your dependence on God. You see, there's a problem with the disciples. Jesus asked the disciples to do something incredibly difficult in John 6. It is over their heads, and hundreds of people leave. And John turns to his 12 disciples, and he says, are you guys going to leave? Are you guys going to take off because it's just gotten difficult? And they reply, Simon Peter says this, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. So here's our question. How do we deal with storms in life? How do we deal with storms in life? I think the biggest thing is we got to declare dependence on God. When he asked us to do something difficult, and yes, there are storms. God told Paul, go to Rome, and his trip to Rome is difficult. What do you do when life is difficult and you're being obedient to what God has called you to do? How do you weather the storms and remain faithful? Two thoughts before we jump into deeper teaching. Thought number one is accept many decisions in life are out of your control. Accept that many decisions in life are out of your control. You didn't control who your parents were. You didn't control what sex you were. You didn't control what height your DNA was programmed, your spiritual gifts and your talents. You didn't control so much of who you are. Get used and relax to it's okay. You don't have to be in control. But we got to be in control. Relax. You don't have to be in control. Let God be in charge of your schedule. Let God be in charge of your life. Paul has this process. I got to get to Rome. And it doesn't go well. Let God be in charge of when you get to Rome. Let God be in charge of how you get to Rome. Because God has many little appointments on the way to Rome. And it's not just the destination. It's the journey. But if we don't relax in the journey, we create massive amounts of problems. We create worries in our head that don't even exist. And God is saying, calm down. Calm down. Let God be in control of your schedule. In Acts 27, verse 1, it says, and when it was decided that we should sail for Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to the centurion at the Augustan cohort named Julius. When it was decided on behalf of me that I was going to leave by other people who decided my schedule, I was taken along with them to go where I was supposed to go. How frustrating is it for us when other people decide our schedules? When we're dependent on other people, government to fill out a form, for somebody to mail us something, for somebody to fill out paperwork that we've sent in, for us to be hired, for the school year to end, for us to start the new school year, for us to start a new job. There's so many things that we get so frustrated about that we want it to come soon, here, and now, quick. I remember being a kid and wanting Christmas to come fast. Couldn't wait for it to come. Now as an adult, time moves a little bit different, a little bit more chill. I don't have to wait for Christmas to get the great gift. God has blessed me with enough finances that if I wanted to, in March, I could go buy what I need. So let's sit back and let's accept that many decisions in life are out of our control. The second thought is, how about we control the controllables? That's something that Chelsea has been teaching us throughout many of the years. Let's control the controllables. But one of the big problems that we do is we try to fight to grasp control over the uncontrollable. That's not the work we should be doing. We need to rest and relax in what we can't control and actually focus in on what we can control. But what we do is we really don't want to deal with us. So we focus in on other people, and we feel like we're, and our criticism is contributing to the process, and we focus all our attention on that person's problem. Meanwhile, we don't really deal with us. We're not real with self with us. And we're not really allowing good opportunity for the Holy Spirit to sanctify us and redeem us and change us. So first thought was accept that a lot of decisions are out of your control. The next one, control the controllables. Notice how much in America people complain about the weather, stuff we cannot control. And look at how much people are trying to control it. It's really interesting. Verse 9. Since much time had passed and the voyage was now dangerous, because even the fast was already over. So they start sailing, they take off, but they take off in fall. And they're going into the Mediterranean, they're going counterclockwise, and the weather's changing, it's moving from fall into winter, and the seas are getting rough, and there's different wind patterns that come in, and there's a nor'easter that's going to come at them and push against them, and sailing isn't going to work, and so much so, the wind blows against them that they have to give up and let the ship just float and go where it's going to go. So Paul says to them, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with injury and much loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also our lives." But the centurion paid more attention to the pilot and to the owner of the ship than what Paul had to say. So here's Paul. Paul speaks the truth, but Paul's a prisoner. Paul's not in charge. Paul's not the owner. Paul's not the centurion. Paul shares, hey, this probably is not a good idea. And other people make choices on behalf of him. Now, Paul could have sulked. Paul could have had a really bad attitude. Paul could have gotten angry and violent. He could have tried to go to position in power and cuss. He probably could have asked God to bring fire down on them, destroy them on the boat, to show them that they would be destroyed. Hilarious. I'm going to show you through violence that there's going to be violence. Isn't that funny how humans work? So how can you honor God during the storm? How can you be on a boat controlled by somebody else, going to a place where you're not in charge of, and you can have an honoring life in the process? Storms come at us from many different directions. Storms can be weather storms, whether snow or rain or thunder and lightning. Storms can be a drought, so the absence of storms. But we can have many things that come in and affect and just challenge our lives. We can be find out that our job is winding down. We can find out that our children have extra needs. We can find out that our parents need more love. We have all these informations. We can find out that our dishwasher broke. We can also find out there's a flat tire or our car needs maintenance. There are different storms that happen to us, things that make us uncomfortable. But how do we respond well when we're uncomfortable? Verse 13, it says, "Now when the south wind blew gently, supposing they had obtained their purpose, they weighed anchor and sailed along Crete close to the shore. But soon a tempestuous wind called the nor'easter struck down from the land. And when the ship was caught and could not face the wind, we gave way to it and were driven along." A lot of times when storms come along, don't we try to fight them? Don't we try to overcome the storm? Rather than just sitting back and being calm in God's hands and trusting him in the process, we try to lash out and change many things because we want to put our effect and our change on situations. Maybe physically you don't do it, but maybe with your words you do it. You're a complainer, you're a griper, you're a whiner. And you let everybody know that you're complaining, you're griping, you're whining, and you're unhappy. And you change the attitude of the incredibly happy group that you're with, and you improve it through that process. No, you didn't improve it. You didn't offer anything tangible or good. So we've got to be careful with our attitudes when we come into stormy situations. Verse 25, later on, stuff goes on. There's all this panic. They're trying to figure out how to control it. They're fighting all the way through the verses. We get to verse 25, and the Apostle Paul says this, "So take heart, men, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have been told. But we must run aground on some island." Yay, Paul! That's encouraging. But even Paul, who's going through the process, there's people who want to jump ship and they want to get out and they want to find another way. They want to lie about what's going on. They're figuring out being on the boat's a bad idea, so we're going to take the safety raft and we're going to leave and we're going to leave the rest of you here. There are 250 people on the boat. And there are selfish people who make choices just about them and they don't consider the whole. Isn't that life? Are you the selfish person that's jumping for the lifeboat? Are you the selfish person who cares more about you than you do about the collective community and honoring God? Maybe that's where God wants you, on that boat, in that storm, to minister grace and love and hope and peace in the middle of pain. Maybe that's where God wants you. Flip back to the beginning of the sermon. No, pastor, God wants me in pleasure. God wants me happy. God wants me to be the best me. What's he doing with the Apostle Paul? He wants the Apostle Paul to live out his love, his faith, in the middle of humanity, where it's difficult. And this is what Paul is doing. And Paul says, take heart. Be encouraged. Relax. Relax. For I have faith in God that it will be exactly as we've been told. But we must run aground on some island. Feel like God should have given Paul all the details? God rarely gives all the details. Why? Because we won't do it. We've already had other sermons on that. So what can we do when we're in a storm? What can we do when we don't have control over what's going on and we can control the controllables? What are the controllables that we can control? Here's four thoughts for you. Number one, draw close to God where you are. So when you're in the middle of a storm, when you're in the middle of pain, when you're in the middle of difficulty, when you're in the middle of something that just made your life uncomfortable, draw close to God where you are. Language at Real Church, pray about it. Language in Real Church, seek the Lord, walk in the strength of the Lord. How often do you try to do all the earthly things and then none of it works, and then you go, ugh, finally, I guess I'll ask God. The mature person starts with God. God, would you please help me in this process? I don't know what I'm doing. Most of this is out of my control. Great King, can you help me find my keys? Yes, even in the little things, pray about everything. So draw close to God where you are. Don't fight the current. God may be leading you somewhere where you don't want to go. And you're going to use all your energy and all your fight to fight God to keep you from going where he wants you to go. Guess who's going to win? God. And you're going to be tired when you get there. You know what you could do? Float. Save your energy and use your energy wisely. Number two, second thought. Treat yourself and others and God with love. Treat yourself with love, treat others with love, and treat God with love. Treat yourself with love that it's okay, you can't control everything. It's okay, give yourself a break. Nobody does everything. Relax. Love on yourself. Love yourself well. Love yourself appropriately. Don't love yourself destructively. That's not what I'm teaching. Don't write down in your notes, Pastor Nathan said I'm supposed to love myself, so I'm going to eat 7 gallons of ice cream. No, it's not what I said. Love yourself correctly. Love yourself honoring that this is the temple of the living God. Love it well. Love others well. You're on a boat, they're scared, you're scared. Love them through the process. They can't stop it. You can't stop it. Don't accuse them. Don't blame them. Don't get angry at them. That's not the solve. Love is the solve. Well, I don't know how to be loving. Seek the Lord. Go back to point number one. Go to God. Draw close to him. God, teach me how to love. Love. The third thought. Grow your faith in God. The Apostle Paul is going through all this. We look back at verse 25. The Apostle Paul is out of control. People are making decisions in his life, and he's just having to go along with the process. And he says, take heart, for I have faith in God. When was the last time you said to someone else, take heart, for I have faith in God? He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it in Christ Jesus. You may have all the tons of pleasure on the cruise, but when you get to Rome, when you get to your final destination, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will welcome you into paradise as you cross over from this life to the next. Grow in your faith in God. How do you grow in your faith in God? Here's a simple way. Hope that God will continue to be God. That God will continue to be God. The miracle of him still making the earth spin and float. The miracle of the sun still coming up. The miracle of gravity still working. Everybody, take a deep breath. the miracle that your lungs are still working and God is in charge of your heart beating. That God will still love you and he still has a plan for you and he still wants to mature you and he still wants to grow you. Have hope in God. Put your hope and your faith in God. Don't put your faith and hope in other things that are idols made of wood and material and plaster and paint. Those things aren't going to save your life. It's God Almighty who's going to save your life. Grow your faith in God. Draw close to God. Love yourself, others, and God. Grow your faith in God. Use language that puts you back to God. Use language that says, I trust you, God. I love you, God. I believe in you, God. God, you've taken care of me this far. You're going to keep doing it. God, you've got it. Start attacking the lies that you tell yourself that God's forgotten you, that God's abandoned you, that God doesn't care about you. Those are not true at all. God cares deeply about you. But you and I are selfish and we don't understand his love. Here's the fourth thought. Find some wood to float on.
What?
I'll get there. Find some wood to float on. So the Apostle Paul tells everybody, don't worry, we're going to run aground on some island and we're going to be there. And sure enough, that's what happens. And the boat hits a reef and it stops. It starts to break apart. And one guy has this brilliant idea. Well, let's kill all the prisoners because we're afraid of them escaping. And the centurion goes, no, we're not killing all the prisoners because Paul's not going to get killed. Hello, God being in charge, God being sovereign, God protecting Paul's life. But he was still on a boat that broke. He was still out in the sea. So the centurion decides, okay, those of you who can swim, swim to shore. But those of you who can't swim, grab a piece of wood and float in. So there's some days in life where you're good. You can swim it. You've got it. It's easy, but then there's other times in life where we find ourselves where we can't do it, and we've got to get help. What's the best help, especially when you're out in the water? Something that floats, a flotation device. Get on the piece of wood, put yourself on it, and let the natural waves push you in towards shore. Maybe give a couple kicks, and you can go in. You can make it. So when you're in the middle of a storm, find something to float on. Find wood to float on. Do you know the best thing to float on? The best thing that you and I can float on is called the cross. It's a giant piece of wood that was put up for all of humanity. That Jesus said, you can't make it. You can't do it. You will drown in your sin. But I will take on all the sin of the world and I will get up on this cross and I will die on it for you. And I will love you through my sacrifice. I will love you through my pain. And what you and I need to do in a storm is we need to get to Jesus. We got to get back to the cross. We got to lay ourselves over that piece of wood and we got to float. It's not anything we do. It's all the action that Jesus did. What he paid, what he sacrificed, what he redeemed, the death that he conquered so that you and I can have life. Somebody better be starting to type amen. Somebody better start screaming, man, I got to float on the cross. I got to get to the wood. I don't know how to handle my family. I got to get to the wood. I don't know how to handle my job. I got to get to the wood. I don't know how to handle my kids. I got to get to the wood. I don't know how to handle all the loud exploding booms inside of Chicago. I got to get to the wood. I got to float on the cross. I got to be dependent on God. Because God, I can't do it. Look at your bank account. I can't do it, God. Look at your body as it fails you, as it's not as strong as it once was. God, I got to depend on you. God, I got to depend on you. So let's go back to our application again. Declare your dependence on God. This 4th of July, throw yourself on the cross. This 4th of July, grow your faith in God. He is good. He is good. He is good. This 4th of July, treat yourself with love. For those of you who are in Christ, who have thrown yourself on the cross, that God has revealed to you, praise God that you are free and you are loved. Praise him because he loves you and he cares for you. Pray for others to know his love and to be saved. Praise God for who he is, that he created a way for us to be saved. and draw close to God wherever you are. So whether you're in North Carolina, whether you're in Texas, whether you're in Vancouver, whether you're in Southern California, whether you're here in Michigan, wherever you're at, draw close to God. That right here, right now, you have an opportunity to dedicate yourself to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that's how I want to end this teaching. Let's dedicate ourselves to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it's simple. It's simple to dedicate yourself to God. All you have to say is, God, I'm yours. Whatever you want to do with me, have your way. Teach me, lead me, love me, provide for me. Lord, if you want me on a ship, I'll be on a ship. God, if you want me on an island, I'll be on an island. Lord, if you want me in Chicago, I'll be in Chicago. Lord, your will be done. How cool would it be if Christians across America declared their dependence on God and lived that way? What a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful country we would be in. I pray God blesses you. I pray that you enjoy watermelon. I pray that you enjoy that God has blessed you, that this is a feast, that we can celebrate who God is and that He is good, and we have religious freedom. But in that religious freedom, let us turn back to God and give ourselves wholly and fully to Him. I pray God blesses you. I pray that you have a wonderful, wonderful week, and I cannot wait to see you guys next Sunday. God bless you guys.